And I'm going to go on record right now. Scrumptious, baby, scrumptious. Can't stand those leprechauns. He should be on a stage at the Improv.
Here he is, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm Beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton. This is the Ira Kaufman Podcast. I'm Steve Isbitz of JoeBucksFan.com. Ira Kaufman is the star of the show. Lee DeCamper of JoeBucksFan.com is not here today, but never fear, he will be back for both episodes next week. If you didn't listen to our comprehensive post-draft episode, that's right at JoeBucksFan.com or at all the podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Podcast Addict, Google Podcasts. It's there. Enjoy it. Take it in. A lot of good stuff. But we've got more of that today. Ira, first, how are you?
Doing well, Stevie. I survived one buck place early this week. They brought out all the defensive coaches. Had a good time with them, one after the other, to the podium. Next week, the offensive coaches. Who knows when we're going to get Jason Light again? We shall see. But had a fun time out there the other day.
That's awesome, Ira. And, of course, today's show is presented by Bill Curry Ford. Bill Curry Ford, nearly 65 years in Tampa, a mile north of Raymond James Stadium. 0% financing going on right now, Ira. No payments for 90 days. GM Sean Sullivan is there to help you personally. You can reach out to him through the website, Bill Curry. That's the family name, C-U-R-R-I-E, BillCurryFord.com. They've got their concierge ordering system if you want to order online. They've got great help for you and a $500 gift card just for ordering a vehicle, no deposit. They've got a body shop service department is top flight, Bill Curry Ford. And again, reach out to Sean directly for that Ira Kaufman discount. He's going to help you any way he can. And they've got a nationwide lifetime warranty on new vehicles, so you can't beat that, as well as their fantastic certified pre-owned selection, BillCurryFord.com. Ira, the official beer of the Ira Kaufman Podcast is Big Storm Beer. Grab a Bromosa today, their Tangerine IPA. It's in most stores, Publix, all over the place, and their tap rooms are in Clearwater, Odessa, Amway Center in Orlando, Cape Coral, and in Ybor City upstairs in Centro Ybor, home of our draft party, and where we'll be back later during football season, Sage. And we thank our friends at Florida's Elite Restoration. We'll hear more about them later. Florida'sElitereStoration.com. Get there today. So when you have mold, flood, fire, storm damage in your home or business, you know who to call immediately. 24/7, they'll respond and give you a free estimate, free assessment in your property with high-tech equipment to know what's going on so you can make a smart decision, and they'll help you all the way through. We'll talk about them later, Sage. We love all your friends in the business world, Ira, and you got a lot of friends at One Buck Place as well. So you were talking to those defensive coaches, sniffing around other things. I have to ask you first about the great laugh that I had when you, pulling your Sage sniffing around, you asked safeties coach Nick Rapone what he's seen from Kyle Trask in the last 2 years, what he sees at practice, you know, going against his defensive backs, etc. And Rapone says, Ira, I'm a novice. I can't give you a good evaluation of a quarterback. Now, if this guy coaching 44 years in the NFL, and he brought that up earlier in that news conference, he's been coaching 44 years, college NFL. If he's a novice looking at quarterbacks, Ira, my question to you is, what are you, me, and the rest of Bucks fans?
That was a classic line from Coach Rapone, who's a friend of this program, reads Joe Buck's fan vociferously. You're right, Steve, 44 years in the business. Now, Steve, you notice I prefaced the question, I did, by saying, you know, obviously, Coach, your focus is on, you know, your position group, your safeties. You're looking to see what Mike Edwards is doing out there, and is Winfield in the right position? And Keanu Neal, and I understand that. But, Steve, you can't help with all the practices during training camp, OTAs. You can't help but notice who's throwing the ball and how they're throwing the ball. And Kyle Trask, you know, he doesn't get first-team reps, but he's out there time and again in front of Nick Rapone. So I didn't think it was unfair to ask Rapone for, you know, just sort of an overview of Kyle Trask, and I guess I coaxed him finally into giving some comments about Trask. I don't think it was unfair, but obviously he's checking his guys out most of all, and everybody understands that.
Yeah, it was just a strange response, Ira, and you know, he talked about how Trask is such a hard worker. You know, he's a good guy in the building, says hello to everybody. Thought that was kind of funny when Rapone went there. Hey, he says, hey, coach, what a great kid, you know. But I don't know. Nobody seems to gush about some of the real X's and O's details about Trask, but we're going to find out what this thing looks like as far as a quarterback competition pretty soon, Ira. The other defensive coaches, just listening to all of them all day, you know, well over an hour of coaches chatting. What stood out to you, Ira? What was one of your big takeaways?
This is an easy one, and it's something you jumped on very, very quickly at Joe Bucks Fan. You probably started typing the minute you heard it, and I'm going to go on record right now. We're only in May, but I'm going to say one of the quintessential NFL quotes, and you know what? It could show up in Peter King's column next Monday. I think it should. Came courtesy of Coach Larry Foote. When asked about Devin White, you know, his request to be traded and his disgruntlement, you know, about his contract situation. Two things. One, he said, it's the money. It's the money. That's not the money quote, Steve, but it's the money. And we all know that, Steve. You know, some people are trying to say, well, wait a minute. Maybe he doesn't like the organization. He doesn't like the facility. He doesn't like his teammates. Foote put that to rest, Steve, as he should. It's the money. But, Steve, the money quote from Larry Foote, he must have prepared it going in. He must have known he was going to get a question about Devin White. Otherwise, he's one of the great ad-lib guys. He should be on a stage at the Improv because he came up with, hey, he's going to make $11 million this year. Those are champagne problems. Steve, that is a fantastic quote. You jumped on it. Those are champagne problems for Devin White. It's a great perspective on it. I think it's an indication that the Bucks don't think this is going to be a big deal. Yeah, he might miss a day or two of training camp. That's his way of showing a protest. The sky's not going to fall. But, Steve, ultimately, Devin White's going to be playing for the Bucks in 2023. And if he plays very well, I think the Glazers will be very happy to give him a nice fat contract.
Well, there you go, Sage. Now, of course, I know you realize champagne problems, that's a name of a Taylor Swift song. I know you have all the albums and you sit there.
I missed that concert. I guess she was in Tampa three nights. I somehow missed it, Steve. I did go to Springsteen and I paid the price because I came down with COVID 2 days later.
I know you're usually bouncing between your Taylor Swift albums and your Muddy Waters and, you know, back and forth. You know, you never know what mood you're in.
Are you trying to say that Larry Foote has Taylor Swift on his Pandora? Are you saying that, Steve?
Very possible. But, you know, of course, the reality is a guy like Foote, who played all those years in the league, Devin White, it is set to make $11 million. Nobody's going to feel sorry for him. And that's sort right. of the way it is. I understand the business side. But, you know, we'll see if White actually sits out some training camp dates versus just the spring. But Foote did note Devin White would be able to stay up to speed technologically speaking. You know, they'll keep him up to date. He can watch practice. He can, you know, listen to meetings, I suppose. They might record things for him and other things. So he won't be completely disconnected like he would have been a bunch of years ago.
Yeah, and, you know, Foote, I think, very aptly and purposefully said, I understand both sides. I think that's a great line from Foote. I think it's a smart line from Foote because, you know, the expectation overwhelmingly is that Devin White's going to suit up for the Bucks this fall at some point and play a central role. So, Steve, it reminds me a little bit about how, you know, Coach Joe Gibbs in Washington, there were two strike seasons, 82 and 87. By the way, the Redskins, and yes, they were called the Redskins, Steve, in the 80s. They won the Super Bowl both of those years. I don't think that's a coincidence because Gibbs did a great job knowing, just like Foote knows about Devin White, knowing that, hey, I'm going to need these players. Our regular players are going to play for us this fall, and I have to stay on the good side of them. So he said all the right things, you know, during the work stoppage, how he understands the business. He didn't rip the players. He didn't talk up the replacement players in 87. Very smart by Gibbs. And then, you know, Foote talking about he was a player. He understands the business side. Why alienate Devin White? That would be silly. Like Jason Light was talking up how we love Devin White. He's going to play for the Bucks, Steve. They'll go through some trials and tribulations. And if he has a hell of a year, maybe the Bucks will have a heck of a year.
Sage, what did you make of the revelation that Logan Hall, second-year man, he's bulked up already to 296 pounds. The implication was that he's going to keep going, you know, hit 300, whatever, and that he will largely be looked at to fill the Will Golston role. When I heard that, my thoughts went to the snap counts, Ira, and Will Golston didn't miss a game the last 2 years and actually hasn't missed a game in 4 or 5 or 6 years, but the last 2 years only, Will Golston plays less than 30 snaps a game. So, I mean, this is a guy who was first pick of the second round, and they're sort of targeting him to be in a role that isn't very big. It doesn't mean it's not important, but they're not pegging him as a top flight starter.
You know, it's interesting you mentioned Logan Hall. Steve, I had an occasion to talk to Warren Sapp this week. We talked about his short documentary on CTE, but I also asked him about what's going on with the Buccaneers. I asked him about Kancey as the first round pick as a defensive tackle. One of the things that Sapp mentioned, and I didn't bring it up, Steve, he mentioned Logan Hall, and he talked about starting Logan Hall at left end. He didn't mention Will Golston, but he said, I think this guy should be plugged in at left end as a run stuffer, and mentioned Logan Hall isn't much of a factor in Sapp's opinion as a pass rusher, but he could be effective defending against the run, which was Golston's forte. And Steve, I think it brings up even a larger point, and Sapp mentioned it. Maybe this is a year they go to a 4-3 base defense, and the reason I say it, Steve, if you got Veyer and Kancey inside next to each other, and Kancey's always been an interior lineman, and of course Veyer too, you know, are you going to move Kancey to right end, Steve, in a 3-4 alignment, at least on the first couple of downs, when he's not used to that? But then you got Gaines, of course, who plays mostly in the interior. This could prompt the use of a four-man front more than we've seen around here in Tampa. I'm interested in talking to Bowles about that going forward.
It's sort of always a four-man front, of course, in the 3-4 defense, but you know, Sapp was talking about, you know, changing the whole base defense and the way it operates. I can't imagine that they'll do that, but I will give it to you, Ira, and say that it's possible because, you know, they could evaluate and assess what the talent they actually have. And of course, their desire to stop the run, and they're going up against a lot of good running teams this year. We could see some core changes. We really could. Todd Bowles has talked about how you got to change up every, make changes every few years or teams figure you out. And Jason Light recently spoke in an interview about how, defenses across the league in general change every 5-6 years. And a lot of teams look to Todd Bowles for some of those innovations and subtle changes because of his status and what his defenses consistently produce.
Steve, another comment that jumped out at me, and this came from Kevin Ross, the man they call The Rock, cornerbacks coach. Of course, he was a very good NFL corner for the Chiefs when they had a heck of a secondary, the Chiefs. They had Daron Cherry, they had Albert Lewis. Very, very good secondary for Kansas City, early 90s. Ross said the most improved player on the 23 Buccaneers is going to be Zion McCollum. There's no shame in saying that Zion McCollum, you know, had his ups and downs as a rookie corner. Because most of them do, Steve, the vast majority. Very few move in and become elite their first year in the league. They've got to learn technique. They've got to adjust to the different speed of NFL wide receivers. So McCollum was erratic. He was. But Ross is not prone to hyperbole, Steve. We've been around him for 3 or 4 years. And I don't remember him making a lot of statements like that. So, Steve, that tells me He sees things in McCollum behind the scenes, practice, habits. I asked him about McCollum's confidence. He says he has the requisite confidence that NFL corners need because you're going to get beat, Steve. You're going to get beat. This is not bump and run where you can attack the guy, you know, 10 yards downfield and throw him off strides. And those days are over. Those days are over. You know, you can't touch these guys past 5 yards. And it makes it very, very difficult to play the position. probably the most demanding position other than quarterback, is corner. He sees a lot of positives in McCollum, and you can't have too many quality cornerbacks, Steve. Of course, he also suggested that, hey, Carlton Davis, Jamel Dean, you got to come down with the football. You got to come down with the football. He thought they had their hands on a lot of footballs that they didn't capitalize on. Steve, I'm not sure I saw the same tape as Ross. I don't remember that many cases where the Bucs were in position for interceptions. I didn't think they had that many chances at interceptions. What do you remember about?
Yeah, nothing unusual. Nothing unusual, Aaron. I did find the comments about McCollum encouraging, but you know, that's what I expect this time of year, and especially with a guy with some the physical skills that he has. But can he develop? And you know, that's always the huge question. They've done it before with guys, but maybe not necessarily at nickel. I think they've done better with developing the safeties and the outside guys. So you know, that remains to be seen. It's an important position. That's the whole reason that they even considered moving Antoine Winfield there last year, because of the importance of the position. I remember Rapone himself told me years ago, you know, when they drafted MJ Stewart, that they liked him for that Tyrann Mathieu role, that he had those types of qualities, which made everybody laugh a little bit. But that's what they were looking for in Winfield. It didn't happen, so now he's moved back. It's a big, big, important job. And obviously, Dee Delaney's played there before, but they're looking for greatness there. And I guess, you know, we're going to find out if Logan Ryan may come back at a cheap price. He's still on the market, Sage. So, you know, lots to figure out there, but it, really good of you to notice that. Sage, I would be remiss if I didn't tell fans that Friday is Cinco de Mayo. And you know what that means, Ira. You know the tacos are fantastic at Big Storm Brewery. You were inhaling those shrimp tacos like they were M&M's.
Scrumptious, baby, scrumptious.
A live music at Big Storm Cinco de Mayo event at Ybor City on Friday, starting at 4 o'clock, and then on Saturday, specials all day. You can find Big Storm Brewery Ybor on Facebook and other social media and see all the specials. $4 key lime pint cans if you want to walk around. You know, there's a lot of fun down in Ybor this time of year. So check it out, bigstormbrewery.com, and we've got some information on the Cinco de Mayo at joebucksfan.com as well.
And Steve, for people that haven't gone down to Central Ybor, and they're worried about parking, you know, that's always a big concern. Steve, I went down there last week, you know, first time at Big Storm, Central Ybor. Steve, there's garages all over the place. I mean, within a two-block area, you really got your choice. So I don't think parking's a big issue over there.
Sage, GM Jason Light was on local radio, and he said, quote, Rashad White is, quote, ready to turn heads around the league. Ready to turn heads around the league. They're happy with the running backs room as is, and that doesn't mean they won't add a guy, but that's where he is on Rashad White. Your thoughts?
You know, I heard the same thing about a running back a few years ago at a Southern Cal, and it didn't really work out, a draft pick, you know, and then, you know, Jones went on to Kansas City and did nothing. Steve, well, what else is Jason Light supposed to say about Rashad White? He wasn't terrible as a rookie. Steve, he wasn't. He played very well in the Seattle game in Munich with the Kemper looking on from the press box, eating his hot dog with sauerkraut. But other than that one game, it was kind of a nondescript rookie year for Rashad White. I didn't see him breaking a lot of tackles, Steve. I didn't see him making a lot of people miss at the line of scrimmage. I didn't see him patiently wait for his blocks to develop. He was a little bit better receiver than I thought he was. He had a very good catch percentage on the throws that Tom Brady sent his way. It wasn't like he was averaging 10 yards a catch. But, you know, he got the job done in that regard. Moved the chains a little bit. I don't share that kind of, you know, rampant optimism about Rashad White. I didn't see enough from him. And by the way, we're talking about the worst running offense in football. We got to put that in perspective. And, you know, White was part of it. He had half the carries. You know, this was the worst rushing offense in the National Football League. They won the Triple Crown, Steve. Fewest carries, worst yards per carry, and fewest rushing touchdowns. That's a Triple Crown, Steve, so I'm not going to get too excited about Rashad White until I see a different guy looking at training camp.
All right, fair enough, Ira, but I've got a bit of a trick question for you. So you ready?
Of course, my friend.
All right. If Rashad White this season, obviously he's not going to have every carry, but if Rashad White this season has 172 carries for 724 yards for 6 touchdowns, that's 4.2 yards a carry, and he also does pretty well in the receiving game. Is that a good season? Because that's what Ronald Jones did in his second year, and I got to disagree with you a little bit because Jones was dominant in the Super Bowl season. Yes, Playoff Lenny became Playoff Lenny in December and took away the spotlight, but Jones was just a hair shy of 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns, 5.1 yards a carry, which was the best in Bucs history for a full-time running back. So I don't know, Ira. I don't know.
You know, the thing about Jones, Steve, you're right. He was good during that championship season, but he couldn't sustain. Steve, he goes to Kansas City, and of course, I think the Chiefs have been very disappointed. And Clyde Edwards-Helaire, they didn't pick up his fifth-year option just now. They declined. So they weren't happy with him. And I think Jones, Pacheco was a seventh-round pick. They didn't know the guy was going to be that good. So at the start of the year, Steve, we're coming out of training camp. I think Jones had every opportunity to win the job as the go-to back with the Chiefs. And he couldn't do it. He just couldn't do it. So he didn't sustain. I don't think, when you look back at Ronald Jones's career, and God knows, Steve, it might be over as a guy who's going to get, more than 50 carries. It could be over. When you look back, he didn't match up with the round he was picked in. I'm going to stick with that.
All right. I got you. You're right. You're right.
Now, as far as the numbers you just posted as a possibility for White, Steve, that would put him, as the 22nd running back in the National Football League, better than last year. Because the Bucs finished 32nd overall. But, Steve, overall, nothing to get too excited about with the numbers that you posted. An improvement, but nothing to get excited.
You're right, Sage. To go back to the initial commentary, which was Jason Light saying he would turn heads, he's going to have to do better than that, and they believe he will. But, like you said, that's what this time of year is for. Ira, got to ask you, since you brought up your Chiefs, Donovan Smith signs a one-year deal. It's pretty obvious he's going to be starting at left tackle there with incentives. He could get it up to $9 million. Andy Reid, noted offensive line guru, on top of being a Hall of Fame coach and the reigning Super Bowl champion, here comes Donovan Smith to play left tackle for the Chiefs. What do you say to Bucs fans when you hear that?
Well, look, the Chiefs obviously looked at the tape of 2022, which was not a good tape for Donovan Smith. And I think they put it in perspective and said this year was an outlier because he had played very well for the first 2 years with Tom Brady. Very well. And we had remarked on this podcast that Donovan Smith has taken a step forward, which you usually don't see after a guy's been in the league 5 or 6 years. He played better than he had previously, both as a run blocker, but especially as a pass protector. And Steve, they looked at the tape and said, look, the guy's durable as hell. He had an injury last year, an elbow injury. We think that has been fixed. He went through some personal issues, which were not defined, but Donovan Smith brought it up himself, so we're not guessing at that. And the Chiefs think that's all behind him. He's not 34 years old. He's got a lot of wear and tear, but he's not old. And, the guy they picked up from the Jags, Steve, and when they dumped Orlando Brown, their former left tackle, who's now on the Bengals, who I always thought was overrated. They went after, the guy from the Jaguars, who's always played right tackle, and the word out of Kansas City is, we're going to switch him to left tackle. Sort of like Tristan Wirfs. The guy's a very solid right tackle. That plan for the Chiefs lasted about 3 weeks, Steve. And I guess they started thinking about it. And maybe this is something for the Bucs to consider. I think the conversation in Kansas City went, why are we moving? Why are we moving this guy from right tackle to left tackle? He's very solid where he is. And Donovan Smith's available. $9 million, Steve. That's a good paycheck for Donovan Smith at this point in his career.
Yeah, Sage, the details aren't out on the exact numbers. That's with incentives, but you know, maybe it's seven and he can make two more. But I think, Ira, the Juwan Taylor signing, the guy you're talking about, right tackle, moving to left tackle, I think in retrospect, the only reason they were talking about him playing left tackle, I got to think it was just leverage negotiating with Smith to come in. You know, if they're putting it out there that, hey, we think this guy can play left tackle, you know, that's sort of a negotiating chip. What do you think there?
Yeah, I think that's smart, Steve. Smart way to look at it. You know, we've been talking about this on the podcast, Steve. The Buck guys that are still out there as free agents, you know, we mentioned Donovan Smith, the first name we used to mention, and Fournette, and Will Golston still out there. Sue, who was not on the Bucks last year, but, you know, still out there. And we were wondering about Donovan Smith. Didn't have a good year, Steve. Didn't have a good year. I'm not blaming Donovan Smith for the Bucks averaging 18 points, but he was part of the problem, and his play slipped. And I think the Chiefs are going to give him a do-over. And I think that's smart because he's not a flash in the pan. He's a proven player in this league. He's not elite, but in my opinion, when healthy, I think he's as good as Orlando Brown. We'll see if he proves it.
Sage, probably the most interesting news and kind of fun, given all the chatter we've had on this podcast, came out earlier this week. Jason Light, WDAE Radio in Tampa, he steps on the brakes, Sage. He says, Tristan Wirfs to left tackle, quote, not etched in stone. They're going to give him a shot there, and they're confident that he'll be good because he's got all the tools and he's so talented, but they're committed to the best combination of players, and let's see what that is first. And so, you know, one step at a time. They just will not commit to moving this guy, Ira, even though they're doing it. They've talked about it. They've hinted at it. They've this, they've that. Todd Bowles told me in Phoenix, absolutely no decision until after the draft. Now Jason Light says it's not a complete decision. We warned everybody in the last podcast, don't believe the published reports until he lines up there in preseason or in regular season. Where do you stand on all this now, Ira?
I think it's another indication, Steve, that they're not convinced, nor should they be, in my opinion. As great an athlete as Wirfs is, as fantastic a player as Wirfs is, and he is, they're not convinced 100% that he'll make the successful transition. And I think they base that on NFL history. It doesn't always work out. Even top-notch right tackles have struggled when a team tried to shift him to the left. There have been occasions when it's been a seamless transition, but that's not always the case. And I think that's an acknowledgement. It's a recognition from the Buck coaching staff that it's not guaranteed that Wirfs can pull this off. And you remember what I said, Steve, I think it's worth repeating. They will try it. That is the plan going into training camp. And I'm okay with that as a plan. But Steve, if there are indications, either in training camp or preseason, that Wirfs is not going to be as good a left tackle as he is a right tackle, I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. I'm not willing to take a step back with somebody as dominating as Tristan Wirfs just because you want him on that blind side. I don't think that's good for the organization. Now, the question is, who you got at left tackle? Steve, there's going to be some cuts at the end of training camp. There always are. You know, running backs will be available. I expect the Bucks to make a move there. Safety will be available. I expect the Bucks to make a move there. And there will be a veteran offensive tackle or more that is discarded. And I hope the Bucks have the financial wherewithal to pick them up.
Yeah, and I got to mention, Ira, that Matt Filer, who was signed in free agency for, I think it was $2.5 or $3 million, he played guard for the Chargers the last couple of years. But before that, he was a right tackle for the Steelers on good teams, coached by Mike Munchak. He can play the position. They've got Gedeky. They have other guys who can play right tackle. So it's like, it was almost like Light was saying, well, if our right tackles don't work out, you know, we can move Wirfs back there. But I looked at it like you did, which was, hey, they got guys who can play right tackle. I think this is more about being on the shelf, about on the fence about Wirfs and whether he can be great there, because they don't want a guy to just be average when he could be legendary on the other side.
I think that's what it's all about. I don't want a good left tackle when I can have a great right tackle. That's what I come down with. We're going to have the offensive coaches next week. I'm interested in talking to Joe Gilbert, Steve, next week, and we'll see. I think Filer's going to start. I think Mork's going to start. Jensen's going to start. And if Wirfs can make the transition, I think Gedeki will probably win the right tackle job. So with all the talk about this, competition up front, I think Wirfs is the key if he can make that move. But I would be surprised if Filer and Mork are not the guards this year.
Yeah, it's hard to say, Ira. I mean, Lee and I really believe that they want Robert Hainsey on the field. So I think it's much more of an open competition at guard than it is at quarterback. I think we'll see some true competition. But Jason Light, speaking on Sirius this week, Ira, and kudos to Light for doing a couple of interviews after the draft. Usually he disappears until training camp, but he got out there and he was saying they believe that Mauch is the kind of guy who will raise the games of others, that he really is in that Ryan Jensen mold. And Light was talking as if they almost expect him to do that as a rookie, which is really almost hard to believe. But one thing that's interesting about Mauch, Ira, is that he's older than Tristan Wirfs. I wrote this week. These kids coming out of college with the extra COVID years, and some of them, of course, who got in right away as redshirts. They've been in college 6 years. They're very mature as rookies, and Light seems to be looking that way. But it'll be very interesting to see it play out. And like I said, Ira, all the talk we've heard in the past about continuity on the offensive line being so important, just throw it all out the window this year. Sage Florida's EliteRestoration.com. Go there and you'll learn how Josh Martin and his team have 25 plus years experience on the insurance side of things. So when you have a disaster in your home, flood damage, storm damage, and you call Florida's Elite Restoration, they know how to get that money for you that's coming to you that you deserve, that you're paying for, to repair your home. It's just that simple. Call them first 24/7. They respond immediately and they'll come out to your home at any time to assess what's happening and get you started to getting your repairs done and getting it right. It's a free assessment, free estimate. When you call, mention Ira, mention Joe Bucks Fan, and you'll get $500 if you move forward with their services. And that could be in the form of money for your deductible or just cash back. Florida's EliteRestoration.com. And thanks again to them for being so generous and providing $1,000 in prizes for our draft party pick the pick contests at Big Storm last week. That was really cool. We got our two winners in. Only one person nailed it, Ira. And we'll talk more about that last time. I got a funny story about the second winner. But Sage, continue.
You know, I'll tell you one thing that you can almost take to the bank. And it's as much a reflection on the new guys as it is on what happened last season. One thing I think we can say with certainty about this offensive line, it's going to be more physical. It's going to be more nasty. One, presumably you're getting Jensen back at center. He does set a physical tone. Two, Donovan Smith, for whatever reasons, injury, personal issues, was not overly physical last year. You know, Hainsey, not particularly physical at center. He will compete at guard, and we'll see how he does. But that's Mark's forte. He's nasty. He's a mauler. And you know, you put him next to Jensen, either at left guard or right guard.
Yeah.
You know, you're setting a tone. Now, Steve, I want to mention one thing. This is in honor of our missing compatriot, Lee DeKemper, today. And if he was listening, Steve, and he will, this is for him. You can't make this stuff up. They're already, you know, everybody wants to jump the gun. Everybody wants to get ahead of everybody else. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard. Steve, if you want to put out a list of the 32 best prospects, in your opinion, in the 2024 draft, I don't have any problem with that. You list 32 names, 32 positions, 32 schools, and you put a comment on everybody. It's a little crazy because they haven't played it down in 2023, but I can understand it. Steve, where they lose me and they try to be cute is they try to match it up with the team in order of the 2024 draft. Now, that's just crazy, Steve. That's just nuts. With the 18th pick, the New Orleans Saints take so-and-so. Steve, we have no idea where these teams are going to finish in 2024. Steve, the reason I bring this up, and I'm pretty sure you're aware of it, and I can just hear DeKemper. Steve, I saw one particular one where they have the Bucks going number one and taken Caleb Williams. Now, first of all, barring a trade up from somewhere else, that means they got the Bucks with the worst record in the National Football League. I can't go there, Steve. Even with the uncertainty at quarterback, even if Mayfield wins the job, suppose he gets hurt, then you got Trask in there. I can't go there, Steve. I mean, that means 3-14, 4-13, something along those lines. You know, you got a league with the Arizona Cardinals in it, you know, Chicago Bears in it. You got some bad teams, Steve. I can't go there. But, Steve, I think this is going to be a year-long link. Unless the Bucks get off to a good start, you are going to hear a lot, Steve, about the Bucks and a determination to land Caleb Williams. I think it's going to be a year-long theme in Tampa.
You know what, Sage? Those things are for entertainment purposes at this time of year. And I don't think so. I don't think the broad theme is going to be that the Bucks are going to be in that running. I don't know. I don't agree with that yet because I think there's too much talent. I think people realize there is. And once Mayfield, if it's him, if he gets entrenched as the starter, you know, I think most of the people writing these things will think of the Bucks as very average, and very average doesn't get you the top pick. So that's where I stand on it, Ira, but that could all change. I think the perception would be that if Kyle Trask is a starter, people might look at him and say, hey, this could be the worst starter in the league. And, you know, they're on the downslide and they're going young on the offensive line. I think that's the key to something you mentioned before, Ira. This O-line should be crazy hungry. I mean, they got so much younger, dumping Smith and Shaq Mason. And you've even got Tristan Wirfs legitimately in a contract year now because he's going to want to get his extension just like Devin White is in that situation now. And so he's going to be hungry, especially if he's at a new position trying to prove himself. And everybody else there is hungry. Jensen has a lot to prove and plays nasty anyway. And I say a lot to prove because he's coming back from the injury. So it'll be a totally different look. Sage, one thing we can always count on is that your look is the same. And the look at Bill Curry Ford is changing because they've got their huge construction project going. It's going to be a brand new dealership by the time fall rolls around, state of the art to the extreme. Just Tampa will have never seen anything like it. But they're open for business now during this overhaul, BillCurryFord.com. Our thanks to Big Storm Brewery. Big Storm Brewery, Cinco de Mayo. Check out the specials, Big Storm Brewery. .com and Florida's Elite Restoration. Sage, we'll be back reconvening on Monday for two podcasts next week. So we're excited about that. As always, you got a final thought for Bucks fans here, or maybe just a food recommendation, Ira?
Well, here's my thought, Steve. I'm a Sixers fan, and I'm not a, you know, Johnny come lately. I'm talking about the days when Chamberlain and Bill Russell used to go at it in the 60s. So I've paid my dues. I've learned to hate the Boston Celtics, Steve. Hate them. Hate them. With a passion. Can't stand those leprechauns. Of course, Steve, as you're aware, the Sixers and the Celtics are embroiled in a Eastern Conference semifinal. I am going to be one happy camper if Philly can end this hex. So I want everybody in our listening area, Guam, Singapore, the Vatican, I want them all pulling for my Sixers, Steve. And let's see if I'm in a happy mood when we reconvene.
All right, Sage. We always pull for your happiness. We'll be back with Lee DeCamper, full podcast on Monday night or Tuesday morning.